Welcome to Civil Defense Radio with your host, Preston Schlankhofer, where we talk about all things civil defense. Civil defense is about building community resiliency by becoming better informed, prepared, and organized to meet whatever disaster might affect you, your neighborhood, and your community. There are many threats on the horizon, yet we cannot rely on true and accurate media coverage of many of these issues. These threats are propagated from the mainstream media seeking to tell only one side of the story. In fact, this propagation can even be considered biased propaganda. This is a legitimate threat to you, your family, and our nation, and here on Civil Defense Radio, we seek the facts that others leave out. Remember, your tomorrow may depend on today's preparedness. Now, here is your host, Preston Schlankhofer.
Hi, I'm Preston Schlankhofer. Welcome to Civil Defense Radio. This week, we have a very special guest. We have Selko Begovic. He's the author of the fabulous book on Amazon. It's called Dark Secrets of SHTF Survival. And there's a warning on the front. It says graphic content. And it is graphic. It is very real. It's very stark. And it is designed to be that way because it was the experience that he had surviving through the Balkan War. It was a horrific time, and it's unfortunate that he had to experience that, but we are fortunate to have him with us today. And Selko, it is a great honor and a privilege to have you on Civil Defense Radio.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your words. And yes, it is good to be here with you.
Yes. Your book, as I mentioned, is very stark, very real. And, you know, you have that warning on there. And even though there's a warning on there, I still recommend it highly to anybody who wants to understand what a true survival situation would be like. We in the United States have this problem where we think that life is good and it will always be this way. But there's a lot of stuff going on in the United States right now. There's over a dozen cities that have had all kinds of violence and mayhem. And Portland, my hometown, my boyhood home, is like 73 days of violence now. So, Selko, can you give us a brief bio so that we understand a little bit more about you, and then give us an idea of what your perception is of what is going on in America today?
Yes, of course. In a very short and in a very simplified way, I grew up in the Balkan region. And I witnessed a fall of one system. That system was socialistic or communistic system. And during the, let's say, transfer to the democratic system, whole series of civil wars occurred here. Basically, those civil wars lasted for years here. Now, today, when you read about it, you can conclude that it was one civil war. In reality, it was a whole series of wars. During one of those, wars, I find myself inside sieged city by armies, and it lasted for 1 year. And during that year, that was actually real SHTF situation, like most of the people imagine it, without any system. Real system as you know it running without any services like water, electricity, whatever running. So it was a life without system running for 1 year during the civil war. And my whole, let's call it philosophy, come from that experience. Years after that war, I find out that people call that survivalism. Actually, I lived that for years, what people call prepping or survivalism in real life. Now, second part of your question, I can say that the book can be written about, let's call it similarity between situation then, in that time here in this region, and situation in US. Now, I need to point out, it is not only about US, but I'm talking more about it because most of my audience or readership is coming from US. So that's the reason why I'm talking about situation US. One more important thing that should be at the let's call it first page of this philosophy, and it is very simple. Common people, common folks cannot imagine situation that they are not experienced in their previous life. What I'm trying to say, in my time, I could not imagine that something bad like that can happen to me, because I always imagine it can happen in some kind of weird countries far away in the world. So I completely understand why people in modern society cannot imagine that bad things, very bad things, can happen, even if they are living in it, like you describe some situation over there in the US. It's simply hard to imagine how things can go fast, very fast, in bad direction, because it is about human philosophy that they cannot comprehend how things can go bad because they didn't experience it before, if you understand me.
Yes.
Now, one more thing about particular situation in US, and it goes with human mentality. I'm pretty much sure that if you live, let's put it like this, as modern and advanced your society is, your, let's call it, fall will be harder and bigger. Why? Mm. Well, it is simple. I'll use my example. I did not go through the part of life where I grow my own food, live off my own land and stuff like that. Maybe my grandparents went through that. So my society was advanced enough, so I forgot a whole bunch of skills. Now transfer that to situation US. Most advanced society are simply running on the way that people forget a whole bunch of skills that were everyday skills and normal skills like 50 or 60 years ago. So as more advanced society is, fall will be harder and larger, simply because people are used more or dependent more on the system, if you understand my point here.
Yes, I agree. It's we call it normalcy bias, where they can't conceive of anything other than what they've already experienced. And that's exactly what's going on with a lot of people, even people in some of these areas or cities that are experiencing this extreme violence and disruption. They're still having problems with it. It's one of those things that I have a feeling we're going to be seeing a lot more of, maybe even after the election. I fear that even after the election, there will be a large amount of violence.
Yes. Now, when you mentioned elections, here's the one point for me. I rarely go into the politics. I rarely go into the politics, even in my own region and country, especially not in politics in some other region in the world. There are numerous reasons for that, why I do not go. Here's the most important one. I found actually that it is pretty much irrelevant. It is not completely irrelevant, but it's pretty at this stage, it is pretty much irrelevant because things are simply rolling on the fast way, and who is going to be elected is important, but things are going in a certain direction and place where it is not any more important who is going to be, let's say, ruling party or whoever. Things are going to happen anyway. Why? It is too complicated, but whole regions in the world are going into direction where too many things happen, like bad political situation, polarization, corona things, call it whatever you want. Second reason why I do not go in politics is polarization. Why? If I say this guy is better than this guy, we are coming to the point of polarization. No, you are not right. I hate you. You hate me. Stuff like that. For survival, it is irrelevant. It is really irrelevant. It is important for life, yes, but for survival things, at the end, it is irrelevant. I'm not sure. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here?
Yes, I do. I do. You're saying that it doesn't matter who wins or loses. The matter of survival is the same, because we are going down a track towards globalism. You can see it if you read multiple sources of news and commentary. You can see that the world is moving towards a biblical one world government, and it is moving that way very rapidly right now. And that is part of the problem with what we have going on here in the United States. I did a sit rep on this. I called it internal threat insurgency. And if anybody's interested, they go back on my podcast list and find it. You can find it even at my website at civildefenseradio.com under the podcast tab. And you can hear more about it there. But you're right, Soko. Survival is survival, and it doesn't matter who wins or loses, because the more a society is polarized, which ours is super hyper polarized right now, and it'll probably get even worse, there will be a large portion of the country that will be dissatisfied with the results.
Yes, and that polarization is first, it is very bad thing, of course, but second, and more important for us who are into this survival thing, it is a big sign that bad things are coming. I mean, you can get killed by wearing wrong kind of hat or cap, actually. It is going in ridiculous directions. And what is even more important here, I went through all of this, through this kind of polarization, and I know where this leads. It leads to even stronger polarization, that leads to hate, that leads to fear. And again, it always ends up in violence. It's simple like that.
Yeah. So can you take us into an analysis of what is going on in the United States in comparative to what was going on in the Balkans before the war started? I'm sure there's some similarities here that you've identified.
Yes, I got that question a lot, and people common folks ask me, is it going to be same like in Balkans, like in Yugoslavia? Well, first, no, it cannot be same. Most important reason is because it is simply not same system. As I said, I grow up in communism. It is very different system than you have over there. Most of the Americans who talk about things like leftism or stuff like that, actually, most of the common folks do not know what that means. That's my opinion, personal opinion. It is very different than most of the people imagine it. So it is not going to be same. Are there similarities on the other side? Yes, a lot of similarities. I usually put one very very common things, and it is kind of, I believe word is eerie, yes. It is eerie similarity. We grow up in society where we were taught that we are made from a lot of different histories and backgrounds and even religions, political options into the one thing that is great, that is unite us, and that is very powerful, noble, and I can say proud. And people, me too, all of us, mostly were proud on that, and we were pro that thing. then whole set of things went to the motion, where all of the differences between folks surfaced. Those differences were historic, religious, and between different kind of nations. Because here in this region, I can say that thing of nationality is something similar like a racial thing over there. So we have nationality thing. So to make things short, something or someone, that's my personal opinion again, pulled out all of the differences between us and used those differences to install fear and hate. Through that hate and fear came again polarization, and all that end up in civil wars. Is it going to be same over there? I don't know. I'm just mentioning here similarities. Biggest similarity for me, and again, this is my personal opinion, is that once you had something great, that great and something that you were proud on, and then that somebody or something trying to turn that into the almost reason for fight. It is very eerie to see that coming over there. I'm not sure where that and how that exactly will end up, but there are a lot of very bad signs, just like you can see it over there, that it is going to end up in more polarization and simply more violence. Now, I cannot and I will not go into the details how that can end up, but it is not going to end up in a good way. Does this make sense to you?
Yes. Yes, I agree. There's a lot that can go wrong. And usually Murphy takes over Murphy's Law. And, you know, if something bad can happen, it will. And so
yes,
there will be some hard times coming up, without a doubt. There's people in the political realm that you know, they talk about a new normal for the United States. Well, there's a new normal around the world because of this Chinese red flu, and so there's a lot of things going on. But at the same time, they're also talking about some very hard economic times coming up for like a global recession that may be very deep. And so there's a lot of things that can go wrong. But it's in order to be responsible, especially if you're a parent of children, or you have somebody that relies on you, you really need to be aware of what's going on and be prepared as best you can. And also, you know, I know from reading your book that you didn't survive by yourself. You had your family there with you, which is a benefit, but you got to have more than just you and your kids, or you and your spouse and kids. You need to have other people that you can rely on in tough times. Is that correct?
Yes, actually, I'm into the discussion about survivalism and prepping with people for years. And after the years, I find myself, actually one day I realized that what I do actually is fighting myths in survivalism. People, let's say preppers, are usually doing or making their plans for survival based I can even say based on lies, or based on movies, or fictional books, or,
right,
or something like that. Reality is absolutely different, completely and absolutely different. And one of the biggest, let's say, myths about survivalism is that somehow it is cool. Yeah, I can say cool and romantic to go through all of that alone, or to be, I call it lone wolf. Actual people call it lone wolf. I call it like lone wolf philosophy. It is based on movies, based on some kind of romantic view on all of that. Reality is absolutely more tough and more ugly. If I'm having a discussion with someone who wants to be, let's say, a lone wolf, right at the beginning, I can tell him, okay, who is going to watch over you when you are sick, or who is going to guard your home when you are away somewhere looking for resources or whatever. There are numerous reasons why it is hard to be alone, not to mention simply mental side of all of that. Surviving the SHTF or some serious collapse or prolonged event, it gets so mentally tough that you so easily may find yourself in a situation where you can say, it's not worth it. I'll quit mentally and physically. I'll quit. If you are together with other people, I call it survival group, that can be your family. It is different. You have a reason to live. You have a reason to fight, a reason to push more day by day. And when people ask me, okay, how did you survive? Well, I pushed day by day. There is no some smart philosophy. If we take away everyday skills, there is no smart philosophy of surviving, except you are finding a reason why you are going to survive and pushing day by day that survivalism. You have to have reasons for surviving. You need to have other people around you, both because of your mental state and because of your everyday tasks and issues. It is not impossible to survive alone, but it is next to impossible. I can put it like that. It is one of the biggest myths in survival world, that it is so cool and somehow romantic to go alone through all of that. There are a whole bunch of other myths, but I can say that is one of the common myths, because people simply said, oh, I do not have family, I do not have known people, I'll go alone through all of that. No, you have to put effort. You need to put effort right now, while situation is still, let's say, normal, to connect with other people, to make some kind of network. Because at the end, it is the point of everything, actually, networking with other people.
Yes, I agree. The founders of our country, when they first landed in this land, they came as a community. They came across the ocean in a ship and had community there. They landed and got off the ship and had community from the beginning. There's no history where anybody in America lasted for any length of time by themselves. So it does take community. And so that's one of the things about my philosophy on civil defense is you have to prepare yourself, your neighborhood, which is, you know, a smaller community, and then your community, which is your city or county, or if you live in a large subdivision, that would be a community. So you have to band together in order to survive, and you need people to help bring food in. You need people to help with water, medical. Things that you don't have skills for, you need to have somebody that can help you out. Sure, you need to acquire a lot of skills, but I mean, I'm not a dentist. What if I have a problem? I need somebody who has skills.
Exactly, and in essence, it is very simple. Other side of that networking and group building, it is one very actually simple thing, but again, a lot of people failing to see that somehow. And I think, again, it is problem because of problem is how they percept possible collapse because of the books, movies, and similar like that. So it is like this: your biggest help is other people, but your what is the most dangerous thing in when something serious happens, some collapse? Again, it is other people. Yeah. So yes, and it is simple. It is simple formula or equation. Whatever happen, if it is enough bad, problem will be always same. More people than resources, and starting point of your prepping should be that more people than resources. How you fight that? Well, you fight that with connecting with other people, with forming some kind of group who will help you out to go over that obstacles about more people than resources. Because even if you go through the most popular, let's say, survival TV shows, most of those shows a lot of those shows showing one man who is fighting problems in some kind of deserted world. It is not reality. People are here. People are going to be here most probably always. System is not going to be here, but most of the people will be here without running system. And that formula gives you what I mentioned, more people than resources. And actually, that's the problem.
Yeah. At some point, the without having proper sanitation and food, refrigeration and things like that, people are going to get ill and we're going to lose a lot of people because they're one, they're not prepared. Two, they're not careful with what they're doing, and they're contaminating themselves and making themselves and others sick. So there's a lot of skills that need to be learned, because a lot of this stuff to survive in an austere environment is out of the knowledge of most Americans. And so the EMP Commission, the Congressional EMP Commission, predicted that if we should have a grid down, total grid down in the United States that lasted for more than 3 or 4 months and, you know, as much as a year, that 90% of Americans would die from violence, lack of sanitation, lack of clean drinking water, and food, lack of food. So that's a big hit on the population.
Yes, you mentioned two very important things here that I need to concentrate a bit on it because they are important. And again, people kind of fail to spot those things. First, most of the preppers concentrate all their efforts to the violence side of it. Of course, it is important, and of course, it will be. There's going to be a lot of violence, but you are not going to be able to solve all the problems with your rifle or gun. Majority of preppers forgetting a whole set of simple things, and I mentioned only one: hygiene. Very often, your ability to keep yourself clean and your home clean is going to be much more important than your rifle. However, this sounds weird. It is true. Second thing, a lot of people simply fantasize about heading to the wilderness and surviving there when something bad happens. As I mentioned, I'm into this for many years, and I think I met few people only that are able and capable to surviving alone into the wilderness. Again, it is next to impossible. It is possible, but you need to be a certain kind of mentality and a man or woman with a huge amount of different skills to survive alone into the wilderness. So I can say it is almost a myth. No, you are not going. Most of us are not going to be able simply to leave our home and survive in the wilderness when something bad happens. I'm sorry, that's myth. Most of us are not able to do that. So a lot of people need to realize that it is true that they cannot survive alone in wilderness. And after that realization, they need to do next thing, to simply to connect with other people in order to have better chances, in order to have more skills summed up to survive.
Yes, I agree.
Well, we're going to have to stop right there for this week.
as part one of two parts with Selko Begovic. Be sure to return next week for more in part two. Also, you may wish to visit our show notes either here below on this app or at our website at civildefenseradio.com for more on Selko and also my list of top books on many subjects. So, with that said, civil defense equals resiliency equals survival. The top-down governmental approach to solve our community resiliency problem has failed us. We need a community-based grassroots approach to solve this problem. To be resilient, it takes preparation, organization, and training to meet the needs of whatever situation we may find ourselves in. Civil defense helps reduce panic in a disaster, and this is why we strongly recommend establishing a community-based civil defense organization in your city or county in partnership with your local emergency manager and community leaders. Let's start a conversation with the guide found on our resources page at our website at civildefenseradio.com. Be sure to check out our regular postings on Facebook at Civil Defense Radio and on Twitter at civil_def_radio. And our YouTube channel is, you just type in Civil Defense Radio Podcast and you'll find us there. And we've got a few postings on Instagram now as well. So with that said, I wish to thank Selko for being with us these two episodes. This first episode now, next week is episode two. You're going to want to make sure you get back for that one. And so I also want to thank you, our friends and listeners who are with us on a regular basis. I really appreciate you being with us. So please be safe, be informed, be prepared, and may God bless you and keep you until next time.